The name of my sermon is Breathe. This has been an interesting year. We have reveled, carried the banner of love and hope, or lope, as I just tried to call it, faced challenges, looked into the eyes of disappointment, into the smug stare of defeat. We have felt the sting of pain and shock, sadness and grief. What we've been experiencing this year is the best and the most difficult stuff of life. Right here, right now, we are living it. And what can I say to you, my dearest, beloved community? As we move into our summer services next week, I remind you that you really live it, to really live is to ultimately face into, struggle with, and embrace change on a moment-by-moment basis. I have struggled in my life. I have faced elation. I have faced deep despondence. In times of joy and sadness, I have often felt comforted by the teachings of the Buddha, who taught that the essence of this life is both change and suffering. Buddha explained that when we choose to clutch desperately onto a plan, an object, or outcome, we open ourselves to suffering. He also taught that extremism is never the way, but to instead seek a middle way. There is truth within the teachings of the Buddha, a man who called humankind always back to our breath, to find comfort, stability, and peace in this simple act of mindful breathing. Breathing is kind of automatic, right? You don't really think about it a lot. But when you do think about it, and you do it, all of a sudden, you find a sense of peace in the breath. There's something incredibly grounding in meditation upon our breath, something that continues on when we are not thinking about it, gives us so much when we do think about it. I found myself turning to my breath quite often this week when I needed something to hold on to create a sense of grounding, a sense of balance. You see, I traveled to Scranton, Pennsylvania this last Wednesday, which is an old coal town that I have never visited before, even though it's right south of Syracuse. I did not go to sightsee. I did not go to visit family or friends. I went there to face into the darkness. I spent 2 days at the Scranton Police Department with some of the officers and a police chaplain instructor who has seen and experienced some of the most difficult realities of life. I listened to stories, I watched videos, and I witnessed some of what the instructor was willing and able to share. Those moments are thoroughly spoken of in whispers, the images that we never see but can imagine, those images that stay with us for the rest of our lives. Captain Dan, that was his name, shared moments from 9/11, where he was the lead chaplain on the ground to the reality of human desperation in everyday life. This week, I can honestly say to you that I looked into the eyes of Job himself. I felt his pain, his anger, and his need for understanding. I traveled to Scranton to engage in training about crisis management and how to minister to those who are on the front lines of life. First responders, police, firefighters, EMTs, hospital personnel, teachers. Many who have seen too much. Many who have lost faith. Many who are guarded beyond what might they and we can possibly imagine. I was in Scranton to learn to be more empathetic, a better pastor to this beloved community when we are in those difficult and dark places. This morning, as I stand in front of you, I feel that in some deep way that I am forever changed by this experience. I'm still processing much of it, those images, those videos, those stories. But I'm sure at some point a sermon will be born. The most important thing that I learned this week was about altitude, an attitude. Altitude being one's perspective and our ability to step back from a difficult moment in order to gain a greater perspective, to be able to look outside of ourselves, and in doing so, our attitude is changed. Altitude and attitude. Those of us who are able to find that thread of a silver lining, those of us who are able to reframe our lives into a positive frame, even on the darkest of night, I was assured we'll not only survive, but we will thrive. Be spiritually resilient. Life, my friends, is a series of moments, some incredibly amazing, like looking into the face of a newborn. Those big eyes, that focus on growing in the breath. And some are upsetting and unsettling. With each change that we encounter in this life, and change is constant, big changes and medium changes and little changes, we endeavor to unpack and assimilate each process and carry on. At points, we do not even think about this process, and at others, we need to learn how to literally breathe again. Exactly. Surviving the swings of this pendulum of life takes patience, love, and the ability to reach out to someone who we can talk with. These are skills that are not easily taught, but hard learned. This is why the thorns were left on the roses this morning for our graduates. We wish, new young adults, that we could keep you safe forever. Don't we? Don't we? We wish, new young adults, that we could keep you safe forever, but at times the world is just not safe. You need to look both ways. You need to hold another's hand. You need to call home and reach out a lot. Your ability to master your own life will be directly proportional to your ability to reach out to others in times of need, especially during times when you feel most alone. Open yourself up to that prospect of getting help when you need it. Adjust your altitude, your perspective, and you will realize that you are not alone. Remember the story for all ages from last week about the invisible string? What did it teach us? What did it teach us? It teaches about life, right? And it teaches us about how connected we can be one to another. And even though we don't see each other, we're still connected. Because we're connected by this invisible string. And if I tug on mine, you feel it. And if you tug on yours, I feel it. If we just pay attention, regardless of where they or we are. As we enter into the summer services, the call from within me encourages me to remind you to take the time to look around and engage fully and mindfully in this living of your life. I know that it's hard to believe at times, but we will realize more than not that this is an amazingly beautiful, mesmerizing, and incredible experience. That at times, life will literally break your heart. And at nearly the same time, life can expand your mind and your heart if you're open to what may come. Growing up and bridging into young adulthood is a big deal. Am I right about that, congregation of adults and elders? One thing that's difficult to realize until you gain some altitude, maybe when you look back from some point out in your future, you will realize how big of a deal it is right now for you. It is difficult to realize the importance of now because we're too close to it. We are in the midst of it. Many of us believe that we literally walk boldly into our future, but in truth, In truth, we back into our future, unable to see what is before us, only ever able to see what has just taken place and this very moment. So imagine, we're literally backing into our future. We plan and we hope. Some of us pray that we will have the experience that we plan for. But there are no guarantees. Forrest Gump profoundly declared it. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. The good, the bad, the tasty, the totally unappetizing. I believe in large measure that is why we engage in a flower communion before we head out to embrace our summer. For me, life is like a bouquet of flowers. Each flower different and yet equally as important and equally a flower. That's a flower, that's a flower, that. They are all flowers, and yet they look totally different. Kind of like us, like humankind. We're varied in color, appearance, scent, health. We each have different connections and different values. These flowers exchanged with one another is a promise, a commitment to honor one another in spite of our differences, and to travel together in love and with a deep understanding of our connection to and with one another, that invisible string. During a lesson that the Buddha shared, and I need a prop. A prop. Okay, we use you, you're cute and little. He held up a flower. Silently to those who were gathered, many monks, many visitors. And all he did was hold it up and he twirled it and showed people it. And people literally became enlightened. Because the story behind the flower is this, that we are each a flower, a cut flower. We have this moment in this perfection. We live, we challenge, we deal with bugs, we deal with sort of the difficult moments of life, whether we get enough rain, whether the ground that we grew in was strong and fulfilled our needs. And in that moment, people also realized the temporary nature of life. For in this moment, this is the flower. And in the next one, the flower will change and change and change. The petals will fall. The leaves will brown. And this is the meaning of life. And yet, we are strong as humankind. And yet, we are also delicate. This is why I encourage us. Every Sunday, I encourage us to open our hearts and open our minds, even though there is danger in doing so, in being so vulnerable. I encourage us to let go of fear as a fundamental guiding principle because it will hold us back. Although it does inform us, it will hold us back from truly living this one that I know of, precious life. My friends, change breeds uncertainty, does it not? And we know uncertainty very well as human beings, don't we? Uncertainty when we first took that step, that first tentative step, went for our first play date to a friend we didn't know well, entered a new school, made friends. How scary was that? Now you're graduating from high school. Holy moly. Facing the prospect of college, you will make new friends yet again as we found our way and face new challenges, adults, disappointments, and joy. Do we remember what college was like? Amazing. Terrifying. Disappointing. Loving. So many emotions. We fell in love. Or will, started a new life yet again, and had moments of true happiness, true elation. The key to life is to set aside fear and to jump in with both feet. But in doing so, be mindful of the altitude and the depth, and be safe. When we began this year, our theme was, does anybody remember? Where is the love? Without a doubt, we have seen hate. And in response, we have shared love. We continue to stand on the side of love. Love is inexhaustible, and its potential exists all around us. It begins with a smile, an open heart. In the connections that we make, the relationships that we nurture, in the commitment and in the work, love is in our hearts and in our minds. It is in our hopes and in our plans and in the friends that we hold dear. As summer finally seems to have arrived, I ask us not to forget the love of this day and of this year. Remember our invisible strings and be mindful that the difference that we make in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones takes place in this very moment. And this moment. And this moment. Beloved friends, I dare you to smell the flowers and sample all of the chocolates within reason. Don't forget to play. Don't forget to dance. Don't forget to sing as loud as you can. Be kind. And love yourself and others in all of this world, even the people we don't really like, we don't really know, we don't really agree with. And do it with abandon, with your whole heart. That is living into your life. I love you. I thank you. I love you. Let us join in a moment of prayer and meditation as we prepare for our flower communion.